Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live Sunday nights. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
How appropriate. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. And how appropriate for a tax conversation. Recently, the Governor's Tax Increase Council wrapped up its meetings and came up with a list of final recommendations for the 2020 legislature to consider. Joining us now to walk us through the proposals is Michael Austin from the Kansas Policy Institute. And Michael, I don't think you're the Grinch. I think Laura Kelly is the Grinch on this one, brother.
You couldn't hear me, but I was holding in my laughter as I heard that music play. Your producers are top-notch, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, I've called her Governor AWOL. Now we're just going to call her Governor Grinch for now. So, yeah, how appropriate is that? You know, and by the way, you've attended every one of these meetings, been forced to sit through all the liberal drivel and pander. So I hope that Traubert is giving you combat pay for my friends. So I hope you're getting, you know, some kind of extra bonus or something for having to sit through that junk. So the tax panel made their final recommendations, and we'll kind of go through these. Number one was raise taxes, basically. Tax all digital products. Now, and for those of you listening, this ranges from computer programs, games, movies, music, books, all other items bought online. So you download something on your phone, a 99-cent app or, you know, a GIF or something that you download, your kids are playing a game, and Kansas wants to tax it. Am I right?
That's right. And, you know, your listeners may have heard this rule of thumb before, but whenever you're trying to create optimal tax policy, hopefully you guys have heard of, you know, broaden the base, lower
the rates. Yeah.
Well, this council seems to really like the first part,
yeah,
but not
yeah.
so much on the second.
Oh yeah,
right. So as you stated, they voted to recommend the legislature tax Kansans for their buying of digital products, as well as taxing Kansans for buying individual sellers on Amazon, and they also voted to recommend increasing ways local governments can raise your property taxes without your permission. The property tax lid, they wanted an exemption for it, and none of those base broadening moves came with a tax reduction.
Right.
In fact, the opposite. They wanted the 2020 legislature to exercise caution when considering taxpayer relief. So their cards are on the table. Kansans are at a permanent disadvantage here.
Yeah, well, and the thing on that, you know, and I talked about this in my monologue at the beginning on the rebate on the sales tax on food, and I looked, and trust me, I spent hours in my time in the legislature looking at lowering the sales tax on food. A 1% sales tax reduction on food is about $60 million. It's a pittance. It's nothing. It's a dent in the budget. And like, for example, this taxing digital products would generate $30 million. So you're not talking about a whole lot of revenue here. Lowering the sales tax on food doesn't cost a whole lot of money. I mean, how much are they right now? Every month they're bragging about how much they're bringing in extra surplus revenue. They don't need more money. They do not have a revenue problem. They have a spending problem in Topeka. Why are they so infatuated with raising taxes up there? Why is this tax council so fixated on bringing in more revenue? I don't understand it.
Well, let me get back to that food sales tax credit. That's the one somewhat relief that they propose. It's a refundable income tax credit on food. This is not going to make food cheaper when you check out at a supermarket.
No.
Kansans will still pay up to, at max, 11% for food in certain parts of the state. All it means is you get a potentially larger refund on tax day. But you and I both know that's not the same thing. In fact, it's worse. You know, if you increase tax credits, but you still keep those tax rates high, you now encourage government dependency. And low-income Kansans won't be encouraged to work because tax rates will still be high. And now, of course, they have to rely more on that government check for their day-to-day expenses. It's almost as if the council would rather have the poor poorer.
Right.
As long as it meant the rich were less rich.
Well, and we're also assuming that lower income people are paying income taxes in the first place. If they're
that's entirely true.
The people who are most dependent on who need it on a fixed income or who need tax relief aren't going to get it because so many of them aren't paying taxes in the first place. So it doesn't really go to the people who need the relief the most.
That's right. You're giving a credit to a handful of Kansans that don't make enough money to pay income taxes. Everybody else, the council wants us to pay more.
Well, and then the thing on this, the local property tax lid that upsets me is they don't want to, first off, they want to give the exemption, and then they turn around and the auspices is we're going to give it back to the counties, and then the counties can give it back to the people. But it's an option to give it back to the people. So the state would give this money back to the counties, but the counties don't have to turn around and lower your property taxes. They can turn around and spend that money. They could turn around and do it for whatever. They don't have to return it to the people. So once again, it's just a bait and switch. This is just, again, my biggest frustration with this whole deal is it seems blatantly clear to me that the governor is fixated on, she knows that she wants to spend. She's got her bucket list of things that she wants to spend on, Medicaid expansion, all the other, you know, welfare things that she wants to grow government. She knows she's facing a massive budget shortfall by 2022, and so she can't afford to lower taxes. Isn't that really what this comes down to?
I think that is the basis for the council wanting to affirm a three-legged stool of Kansas taxation.
Oh, there's the three-legged stool garbage again.
That's the belief that state government should be funded by an equal share of income, sales, and property taxes. But to my knowledge, to my research, to what I have found, I think that the three-legged stool analogy is a really good example of why you should never use a soundbite in exchange for policy.
Right, yeah.
The three-legged stool, unfortunately, has created unstable budgets. It has no basis in academic literature. And most importantly, I think it gives another excuse for Kansas government to decide who benefits from your paycheck.
Well, and, you know, keep in mind, this tax council is made up almost entirely of municipalities, members of the Kansas Association of Counties. No wonder they're the ones that are now saying, oh, well, let's give it back to the Kansas, to the counties and the municipalities. There's not a tax advocacy group on this commission. So no wonder the tax council is the one that's saying, let's not give it back to the people. Let's somehow find a way to give it back to the government. I mean, that's really all this is. It's a bait and switch.
Not only that, but how about this fact about the three-legged stool? If you're a state lawmaker, the state budget's major tax revenues are income and sales. It's not property.
No.
If you are a local government official, your local tax revenues into that budget are sales and property. It's not income. So who is this three-legged stool policy supposed to guide here? You know, is it supposed to decide or guide the state lawmaker or a local lawmaker? Because either way, they don't even have three equal shares of income, sales, or property. They're missing one.
Right.
And so this justification comes about because the governor and the tax council have to combine state and local budgets to make that theory work. So let me repeat that. The governor has to combine the state and local budgets together to support the three-legged stool and say income taxes are too low.
Yeah.
That's like saying Kansas sales tax rate on food is too low when you consider the fact that there's no national sales tax rate.
Well, that's
the same thing.
And again, the thing that gets me here, last time I checked, the state continues to enjoy record revenue numbers. Why are they so hell-bent on raising taxes? And the answer is so they can spend more money. We'll take a quick break. We're talking with Michael Austin from the Kansas Policy Institute. Can you stick around, Michael?
Not a problem at all.
Okay, we'll be back right after this.
This is Wichita's number one talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
So, to honor him, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, when we don't care.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. With us still is Michael Austin from the Kansas Policy Institute. Michael, Merry Christmas again, if I didn't tell you the first time. Thank you for sticking through the break with us.
Oh, not a problem at all. Merry Christmas to you as well.
So one of the stories that I saw on the Sentinel, by the way, you guys are awesome with some of the coverage that you guys put out there. I really appreciate it. Great, great stuff that you put out. I noticed you guys just put out an article on student achievement, and, you know, when you consider it's now, I think it's over 52% of the state budget, you wonder why the state is constantly having money troubles. But I was shocked to read that while student achievement remains relatively low and stagnant, local school boards continue to focus on constructing new buildings and set new records for school debt to the tune of $6.53 billion for the 2019 school year. How do they justify that kind of spending and that kind of debt?
You know, that's a great question. I think ultimately what it comes down to is that we're not really holding our local school districts accountable. What you find is that over the past decades, we all know, of course, funding for education has continued to rise. And yet, when you look at our national assessment of educational progress, that national benchmark of student achievement and readiness, we haven't even moved the needle. So I think what it ultimately comes down to is, you know, we as Kansans need to go to our local school boards, because they decide, of course, where that money is spent, and hold them accountable and ask them whether they're really seeing a public benefit from where they're deciding to prioritize our tax dollars. But it has to start at the local level from Kansans.
Well, you're right. And I started looking at these numbers. The highest level of debt, not surprisingly, outstanding debt, $527 million in Johnson County, but not surprising. Number three, USD 259 Wichita at $343 million. You know, this kind of debt has to be a drain. I can only imagine what the interest burden on this is. But construction in particular has to divert from instruction. And, you know, school districts, looking at the numbers, school districts have allocated, well, in 2019, they're allocating barely 52% of their budget into the classroom. And so often when I was served in the legislature and I've heard from other representatives, that's the biggest issue that they are frustrated with, is that these numbers are continuing to decline over the years, the amount of money that's going into instruction.
That's right. And, you know, you talk about construction being one of the diversions of state taxpayer dollars, but you also need to look at administration as well as support professionals. You know, of course, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but when we're thinking about the teachers per student, right, that has a certain rank over time, but that is eclipsed by the number of administrators or the number of support professionals. So that really tells you where they're deciding to place their money, and it's really not going into the classroom, and unfortunately, it shows.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's ironic. I had Representative Carpenter on last week, and Representative Owens as well, and we actually were talking after the show, and Blake was sharing with me some of the statistics that he's been compiling, and the average teacher pay in the state just keeps going up. It's almost, I want to say it's close to, it's like $68,000 here in Wichita. That's not bad. Average superintendent pay is now well over $100,000 statewide. But the admin money just keeps going up and up. And it's, don't get me wrong, I recognize that you need administrators. They're an essential function. But when you have, in Wichita in particular, when you have $100,000 PE teachers at elementary schools, that's asinine. I'm sorry, but you can't justify a $100,000 a year 8th grade PE teacher. You just can't justify that to me.
No, you most certainly cannot. And I think one of the issues why maybe the ball's not moving as much as we would like to is that we're not holding these school districts particularly accountable for the student results. The first job of an educational institution, whether it's a college, whether it's a high school, whether it's junior high or elementary, is, of course, to make sure that students are pushed to learn as much as they most certainly can and are hitting those benchmarks. And we should not be satisfied, you know, if the state of Kansas on their eighth grade reading level, and this was, I believe, 2017, 22% of low-income students, right, are at an eighth-grade reading proficiency, right? 22%. And when you consider those that are not low-income, it only jumps to 49%, roughly 50%. So half of our students that are not low-income can't even meet eighth-grade reading proficiency levels.
Yeah.
That's not acceptable.
No, it's
and,
terrible.
You know, one of our goals, of course, is to make sure more and more Kansans are aware of this fact, because if they are, because if we have transparency, then we can have questions, and then, of course, we can pressure to make sure our kids get the education they deserve.
Well, when you say making sure people have more info, where can they go? Folks who want information, where they want access to this data, where can they go for your information? How can they access it?
Of course. So you talked about the Sentinel. Your listeners can find that at sentinelksmo.org. As for our policy suite, so where you can find our discussions on tax policy and, of course, on education, you can, of course, go to us on kansaspolicy.org. And then you can also find me on Twitter and on Facebook at KS Tax Economist.
Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on the show again. Carry on the fight. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Thank you very much, John. Hope to hear from you again soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. Folks, I want to let you know a couple things that's coming up. Governor Laura Kelly is coming to Wichita. She will be here on Tuesday, actually, for a budget listening session next week. The budget listening session will take place at 5:30 Tuesday, December 17th. It will be held in Wichita State University at the Metroplex. That's located at 5015 East 295th Street North. We need to welcome her. Make sure you get out and welcome her. Before we say goodnight this evening, I want to let you know we won't be with you next Sunday due to the live coverage of the Chiefs game. We will be back with you the following Sunday, the 29th. So this is my Christmas Eve episode for you. And I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. When we come back on the 29th, my guests will include Congressman Ron Estes. In the meantime, I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas from Dusty and the folks here at KNSS and from myself. Merry Christmas. Carry on, fellow deplorables.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.